We've covered in the last few programs the first two, but let's rehearse them quickly. In chapter 16, beginning in verse 1, he saw a great pouring of, it almost looks like a poison pouring out of a bubbling vial in a chemical laboratory, which would be symbolic of disease and death and plagues and the like. And you see in the mind's eye as if John is now from a vantage point in outer space, seeing these huge angelic beings coming out of this mysterious laboratory with smoking vials, and they pour them over the earth just like a Sherwin-Williams paint commercial, and you see all of these horrifying things beginning to occur. So remember, the language is very descriptive, the language is visionary, the language is symbolic, it is not necessarily literal, but nevertheless this is global in its import. It said, the first wind poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. I'll come back to that, and we'll discuss it in a few moments. But let's read of these plagues. Just get the language and get the feel of this chapter for a moment, and see the incredible events it is describing. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul, every living creature. I've explained the Greek word, which is psuche, and is a direct counterpart of the Hebrew nephesh, and means living creature or being, died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because you have judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I've commented again about the justice of God, and the fact that those down through the centuries who have martyred helpless human beings, whether you're talking of the pogroms under Adolf Hitler, or you're talking of those during the days of the Spanish Inquisition, Fox's Book of Martyrs, or those which are yet to die at the behest of a vast religious organization, are going to suffer in like fashion as they have inflicted suffering upon other hapless human beings. He said in verse 7, I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. These next two plagues are almost identical, except the effects are different. But notice, it's almost like a musical meter, like poetry, but yet ghastly and grotesque in what it describes, because it says, The men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, that means the governing place or the great city from whence this entire system rules, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Now, a comment. This does not happen quickly, a few moments in time, with one plague coming along, followed quickly by another. You are seeing now an overview, a description of the global effects of a combination of what is called the Great Tribulation, and out of that, eventually, the gathering of massive armies and powerful forces into the Middle East between two protagonists that most people do not suspect, but having to do now with a new third power block emerging in the world, which is called the Beast Power, which will be a Central European power, put together at the behest of a great universal church organization, which will move its headquarters to the city of Jerusalem, declaring it an open city, an international city, to protect the world-famous holy places. This is a time which in biblical prophecy is placed after the tribulation, which is called Jacob's trouble, after the heavenly signs of the seventh chapter of Revelation, after the four trumpet plagues, and right at the time of the third woe. Now, in case I lost you there, students of the book of Revelation know there are three units of seven, that there are seven seals sealing the book, that the first of the seven seals has to do with the white horse of false prophets, and that the first five are a part of what is called the Great Tribulation and are explained by Jesus Christ in Matthew 24. You can look in Bullinger's Companion Bible, for example, for a very good interrelationship between the sixth chapter of Revelation and the step-by-step explanation of the mysterious four horsemen of the apocalypse and the first four seals sealing the book of Revelation. The fifth seal is religious martyrdom. The sixth is the interruption of all of these events by the heavenly signs. And the seventh is then another series of seven trumpet plagues, the last three of which are called three woes, the third of which is divided into seven last plagues. So you have three divisions of seven, and you have the use of the numbers of finality and perfection or completion. And the final completion of the plan of God, the intervention of Almighty God in human affairs, the sending of Jesus Christ to this earth to rule it with a rod of iron, comes at the end of the seventh of the seven last plagues depicted in the 16th chapter of Revelation. Notice going to the end of this now, and then we'll come back and expound each one. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I'll explain that when we come to it. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. Now, he is seeing this almost, as I said, like a surrealistic, supernatural, weird nightmare of some sort, like in a vivid dream. And he actually saw that. He saw this huge dragon breathing fire. He sees three frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, hideous stuff, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils, or demons, it should read, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, if you go back to the book of Daniel, and you read the 10th chapter, the latter part of the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel, you will see the introduction to the longest chapter in biblical prophecy found anywhere in the Bible. And you have some very interesting insights given in that chapter of the book of Daniel about great, exalted, powerful spirit beings. Very few people really understand the truth about the spirit world. Very few people understand the truth about Satan, the devil, of his original state of being, who he was, the fact that he was an archangel or one of the cherubim that was placed very close to God's throne, but that he was given rulership originally over the earth in a pre-Adamic creation of the era of time when the earth teemed with billions of creatures, that Satan the devil, and this is depicted in the book of Ezekiel and Isaiah, Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, tried to overthrow God. Here's your original Star Wars. And that everything that we see today, that we study in terms of astronomy, of geology, and even the ideas of progressive evolution that scientists try to foist upon unsuspecting minds in high schools and colleges today, comes as a result of the debris and the wreckage of all of those aeons of development when this earth was being prepared as a habitation for humankind. God's great prototype, God's great clay models that are only the forerunners of the expansion of God's own kingdom. The whole story of that great Star Wars, of the rebellion of that archangel, of Satan the devil and his countless millions of angelic beings who followed him in his rebellion, cast back down to the earth, the frenzy of destruction that resulted in the wreckage that we see in our neighborhood of our part of the solar system and the face of the earth itself, is actually hinted at very strongly in the Bible. And by the way, I have a full album on the origin of Satan and his demons, a full tape cassette album of many, many tapes, hours of listening, that go thoroughly into this and a lot of scriptures in the book of Daniel. What are cherubim? What are seraphim? What are demons? What do they appear like? What do they do? What is the plan and purpose of Satan the devil? What was his previous state of being? What is his ultimate fate? But here in the last of the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel, we see Daniel being spoken to by an archangel who identifies himself. He goes on to say, "Do you know why I have come to you?" In verse 20, "Now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." And what was he talking about? He was talking about Alexander the Great, and he was talking about Cyrus the Great, but he was also talking about spirit beings who were influencing those leaders. And he said in chapter 10 and verse 21, "I will show you that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holds with me in these things but Michael, your prince." And this was Gabriel talking to him. The 11th chapter follows a very lengthy prophecy that was actually a quotation from an archangel. Very fascinating chapter of the Bible. We're going to be coming back to that as we expound some of these seven last plagues in the book of Revelation. It's essential to look at verse 40 to the end of the chapter.